We're speaking with Joe Sarnofsky, the Vice President of Administrative Services and the Chief Financial Officer for Seminole State College, and asking him some questions about the funding at Seminole State College and the future for the students who pay the tuition to help run this college and to hopefully improve their future. First of all, Mr. Sarnofsky, what is the Seminole State budget for the last 5 years, and has there been an increase in the budget?
Well, Dusty, yes. Our budget about 5 years ago was just a little over $57 million, and each year our budget has increased as our enrollment has increased. This year, this coming year, our budget is expected to be about $76 million, so that's an increase of about 33% over the past 5 years.
That's quite significant. Has that also been accompanied by an increase in enrollment?
Absolutely. That's been driving that increase. Our enrollment that same time period has increased by 53%. So although our budget has gone up 33%, enrollment has increased 53% during that same period.
How can you do that? You've got more students and less money to work with.
That is the challenge that we face every day. The one thing that we've been fortunate enough to be able to do is to add budget in the areas where we needed to. We've been distributing programs and campuses where we thought were the best place to put them so that we can drive the total cost down and try to do that so we can manage the reduction in state funding that we've been getting.
Speaking of that reduction in state funding, what has been the reduction that we're always hearing about state budgets and budget cuts. What has been your reduction?
Our reduction seems to go down every single year. This past year, we saw a decrease that puts us actually below the state average. If we think about it, the amount of funding that we received several years ago, the state is about 36-43 average, and it decreased to about 27-40. We're actually below that. Our total cost, although we're 46-67, our student cost is a little below $2,000. The state support is about $2,185.
That's how much the state of Florida gives.
That's how much the state of Florida gives, about $2,185, and that compares to an average of about $2,700. So Seminole State College receives about $600 less on average per student
than most other colleges.
Than most other colleges in the system. So the difference between that $2,000 and our cost of a little over $4,500 is what the students pay. So the total cost is about $4,600 for the total cost for a student. 47% of that now is paid by the state, and 53% of that is paid by the students.
Has it always been that way?
No, it hasn't. The state of Florida originally set up that the intent was for 25% of the cost of the education to be paid by the students, and the state would provide 75% of the funding. In the last decade, that's changed. 10 years ago, the state was providing about a third of the funding. This year, the state is providing less than half. So that's been decreasing every year for the past several years.
So the students who attend through tuition increases have been picking up a larger and larger share of the education they get at Seminole State.
Absolutely. The students have been picking up a larger share by paying tuition dollars. And because we've been growing so much, their students are becoming a larger and larger part of that budget.
And the budget for 2011-2012, will the students see an increase in tuition then?
They will. Our Board of Trustees just passed a tuition increase, 8% tuition increase. That follows the rate that the legislature set for increases in standard fees. And so students will be paying that increase next year.
When students pay that kind of an increase, particularly at a community college where there are already, these are students who are needing to look for a bargain in education. They can't afford to go to Harvard. They're hoping to get the best education they can for the least amount of money. And now their share of having pay is getting larger and larger. Now another tuition increase on top of last year's tuition increase. What does this do to the students?
It puts a lot of pressure on them. It makes it challenging for them. The good part, if there is a good part, is that Seminole State and community colleges in Florida are the better choice when you talk about tuition increases. When you think of the universities increasing their tuition rates at 15% per year, 8% is half of that increase. So it's becoming a better bargain. However, the best option for a student, whether they want a two-year degree or a four-year degree, is to spend those first 2 years at the community college, pay that lower tuition rate for at least half of their education.
Before they have to start going to the 15% increases.
That's correct, and some things you just can't avoid, but those cost increases in the university systems and private colleges and universities are just continuing to escalate.
When you see these kinds of tuition increases, are you also seeing a number of students not completing the two-year course?
Well, that's interesting because actually we're seeing here at Seminole State the opposite. Students recognize that when they get to college, they need to be more serious about their studies. They're taking as many courses as they can while they can. And so at Seminole State, at any rate, we've been seeing students complete quicker. They've been taking advantage of a lot of different options that we have here to try to complete their degrees earlier.
And I understand that you have more full-time students than you've ever had before.
Absolutely. That's part of that, trying to do as much as they can while they can. Whether people are looking for that next job or whether they are starting their first job, they want to get that degree as quick as possible. That degree is important because it's going to increase their earning potential. And so students will do things like taking that extra course online, and that's probably one of the areas where we're seeing more students take more courses so they can get more in during their time that they can go to school.
Do you notice that this increase in full-time students, increase in students going ahead and completing, is related to the economic situation that we're in?
Well, not necessarily completing. I mean, students will attend college, particularly community colleges, more often in times of economic crisis. So when the economy is getting worse, our enrollments generally increase. More students come to college either because they have time and they're not working, can't find a job, or honestly because they're in a job that they want to change now. And so they'll be going to school to get more preparation in certain areas or to change careers, so that they can do that as the economy gets better. So we tend to see as the economy gets worse, more enrollment. And as the economy improves, more often than not, students will leave college and start going into the workforce.
When so many of your students are working as well as trying to go to school, working to raise the money for tuition or life or living expenses or whatever it may happen to be, do you know what percentage of your students are workers as well as students?
I don't know the exact percentage, but a vast number of our students are. We get still about 40% of the students that are direct high school graduates out of Seminole County. However, students here, really there's that group that are just graduating, and there's just as large of a group that are the over 40s that are coming back for retraining or changing careers.
So the adult student is a significant percentage of your student body.
Absolutely, absolutely. The adult student is the person who has had that first job, either been laid off in this economy now, or has just decided they want to change careers. Maybe they've been relocated because of the economy and their spouse has been relocated, or they need to move into a different career. And a community college is a great place to pick up coursework that gets them technical training in areas where they may even have a bachelor's degree already. Allows them to find a new job.
A lot of the work at Seminole State College is in the area of training, not what we would call academic preparation. Do you have any idea what percentage of Seminole State is job training as compared to academic?
Well, the vast majority of our students are definitely take what we call A&P classes, and those are the classes that prepare you for four-year degrees and for what you consider to be the college education courses. Technical enrollments for us, we have post-secondary vocational programs in automotive, in computer sciences, nursing degrees, those types of programs, is becoming a more and more important part of what we do. Probably close to more than a third of our students. Criminal justice programs, fire science programs, EMT programs, nursing programs, automotive programs, and then some of the computer engineering types of programs as well. Yeah, about half of our students are in the 18 to 24 bracket, a little more than half, and then the others are older than that.
The federal government was providing money through the stimulus program, which allowed the state to reduce its share of the money that was needed for community colleges. That stimulus money, the Recovery Act money, is going away. How does that affect Seminole State?
Well, the one thing about the stimulus funds is we knew those would go away. We had prepared for the expectation that 2 years of funding would come from the stimulus funds and that we wouldn't have those funds coming this coming year. So it was not a surprise that the legislature couldn't afford to pick up that difference. However, what that allowed us to do is use those 2 years when the funds were coming in to prepare for this year. We analyzed our programs, and we took advantage of changes in staffing that we could do to lower our total costs, and that's why I see our costs going down. We put programs in different campuses to lower our cost. And so all the things we did were to expect that when the funds were gone this year, that we would have a staffing plan that would be in the right places, that retirements that we had planned on were being filled, the positions we needed to fill students' needs, and that we would be able to have the technology in place to serve more students at a lower cost. And we spent nearly all of our stimulus funds were spent to cover the cost of our increased enrollments. Adjunct faculty that we had hired had been the majority of the funds that we had spent, and most of those in the first half of the year each year. But then as we got to filling those student demands that were quickly growing, we're seeing now, where are those students still here? Some of them are graduated, but where are those students still here, and do we need to hire a single full-time faculty member, or do we need to change our staffing patterns in certain programs? So we use the stimulus funds to fill that gap of adding adjunct faculty members as students were getting their first years of college in here.
And now those same adjunct faculty will be laid off now that the stimulus money is not there?
Most of them are just going to be taking a lesser load. What we were doing was pushing people to do a lot. Everybody has been doing more in the last few years to try to serve that enrollment growth without spending more funds. So if we had, and we do have a vast majority of our adjunct faculty members teach more than one course, and so where they were teaching two or three courses, now they may be teaching one course or two courses. So they're still probably engaged with us, but probably not teaching as much.
Does that mean that class sizes will have to become larger?
Not this next year. We had increased our class sizes the last couple of years as the enrollments were increasing, and honestly, as we didn't have more classrooms to put people in. And so we did serve those students more that way with increased class size. But we've gotten to that point now at this level with the stimulus funds gone that we knew what level we could operate at class sizes that we can stay the same.
Are you going to have to turn any applicants away who come asking for admission and you just don't have the buildings, you don't have the faculty?
Students? I don't think so. You know, one of the principles that we have is to be accessible to students. What we want to do is provide them every option. What we may not be able to do is provide them each course every time they want it and at every campus they want. We're finding about a third of our students now are going between campuses to fulfill their education. Would they love to be at one campus? Would those at Altamont love to stay at Altamont and take all their courses there? Certainly. Can we afford to offer all those courses there? No, we can't.
So that means a student who lives near the Altamont campus may have to go to the Oviedo campus to get the course they want.
They may do that, to fill in the course or to fit in the time that they need or that they're available to take classes.
When the time came for Governor Scott to submit his budget, it did have a cut for higher education. And when his representative, Scott Kittle, came before the House Higher Education Appropriations Subcommittee in February, he said, "The colleges have, for the last several years, been able to do more with less. And this current budget in 2011 asks them again to do more with less." That's a rather strong statement. Can you continue to have the quality job while having less of the taxpayer money?
That's a good question. Honestly, I think the students are going to be able to answer that question better than I can. But unfortunately, we must do a good job with less state funds. We have less state funds, and so we must rely on students to pay that difference between a good quality education and what the state could afford to provide for that. But our goal is the same as the students, and that is that we both intend to provide an affordable education. We want a quality education for our students to achieve. We want to help them reach their goals as quickly as possible, and we want them to get engaged in the workforce as they desire. That is our goal, and we'll do that the best we can with the resources we have.
My concern is that there's going to reach a point at which the quality simply can't be sustained with the continued cuts. But you're saying as long as the students are willing to come up with the money to cover the gap, the quality can still be maintained.
Not necessarily that easy. One thing that is unique about Florida, of course, is the legislature really determines that mix. When we talked about the state paying a third or the state paying half of the education, remember the state is responsible. The legislature sets both numbers. The legislature provides state allocations to the colleges, but the legislature also determines what the standard rate of tuition is. So the legislature really, by enacting the budget each year, informs us of how much they could afford to pay to education and the tuition rate they expect students to pay. So they have told us what that ratio should be. I think the last decade we've seen the state being put in a situation where it needed to put more of that burden on the students. I think the challenge for the state this year is to reconsider whether that is the right policy. Do we still want to go in that direction? Or is the student paying half of their tuition rate enough? And should the state think of doing something different?
Why do you feel that it might not be appropriate for the students to pay even more of a share? And could it get to the point where the state is paying a quarter and the student is paying 75? In other words, a complete shift from the original intent. Would that still be fair? At least fair to the taxpayer.
Well, those are three good questions. When you talk about whether it is appropriate, whether it is fair, and also whether it's adequate. When you think about the earnings potential that students have, the tuition rate is fair. And that is that there's no doubt that students will get more earnings gain, earnings potential, from the dollars they invest in their own education. And that goes whether it's a community college or a university, but it's even more so with the low cost of a community college. So is it a fair amount of tuition rate? It probably could be argued that it's a fair amount. Is it appropriate, though? Well, that's a good question. It is a bargain when you look at the cost of attending a university. The tuition rate for community college is much lower than students would have to pay if they were attending a public university, and obviously much, much lower than they would pay at a private university. So it probably is an appropriate idea. I think the state still looks to foundations and to grants to help provide those additional offsets to students' cost of tuition, Pell Grants, the Bright Futures, and other opportunities that students have to get resources to help lower their total out-of-pocket costs.
For example, the federal government is now has been, over the last 3 years, has increased the Pell Grant funding, but now they're preparing to cut it. The state legislature has cut back on Bright Futures with the anticipation that they're going to cut even more on Bright Futures. Under those two conditions, the students are being pressed from both sides. Their tuition is going up. Their sources of money as an individual are going down. What happens to the student?
They're squeezed. They really are. And one of the things that is a challenge this year is because that Pell Grant has been providing the most needy students with the resources. And this year, with that probably not going to be increasing for students, puts pressure on all the other things. Now, Pell Grants, things like that that provide resources, provide more than just tuition costs. They provide costs for books and supplies and transportation. Now, I can't think of any of those things that are going down this year either. So one of the things we do is we do rely more on foundations. There are additional grants. Our foundation provides scholarships to students. Matter of fact, this year, our board actually set aside an additional $100,000 worth of scholarships to help students pay for books and food tickets and transportation and those types of things. So we're trying to provide more resources to help them lower the total cost of education. But we think some of that is why students are taking that online course. They can reduce their total costs by taking some online courses, and that may be why they're taking more of those.
If 40% of the students who graduate from Seminole County Public Schools move on to Seminole State College, is it the responsibility of this community to make a larger contribution to Seminole State in the form of contributions to the foundation, contributions to scholarships? Because we are, in this county, receiving a significant service from Seminole State.
We are, and the school system is just fantastic, too. I mean, one of the reasons why more students are completing, because those students are coming out of Seminole County Public Schools with a much better preparation for college. The community has been very good. I mean, can they do more? I'm sure. We all hope they would do more. The foundation provides those resources. You know, the other question that some states have done is asked for local levies and those types of things to support. And that's not something that's common in Florida. Only one community college right now, Miami-Dade College, is the only one that has a local support. That is something that I would suspect should only come if the students that pay that support get an additional break. But that's going to be a challenge to get the community to step up when it's got its own struggles, to ask for private foundation support, to ask for support from the community. For this college is the same as asking them to support their local public schools. And all of those are important for our citizens.
And the public schools are in a bind right now.
They've got huge challenges, and we understand that. And we do work with them to try to figure how together we can get those students through the high school and into and through the college as quick as possible, saving as many state dollars as possible. And that's one of the reasons why dual enrollment is so popular.
I think I've asked everything. Is there anything else on this list that we've left out?
Desta, I want to thank you for being here first, because, you know, the community colleges, this Florida college system now, is challenged at this time. With the economy being in such a strain, all of the institutions are being strained, just like Seminole State College. All of us have a story about state funding being reduced and the need to pass on, not the desire, but the need to pass on many of those costs to students through tuition increases.